What grace is this? What grace is this? Saved by grace. That's our theme for these various messages that I've been sharing with you. We looked at the transforming power of the grace of God, and we've also seen the tremendous, rich spiritual blessings that God has offered us through His grace. The point issue is as we look at the Greek language, there are many tenses. There is the present tense, the past tense, the aorist tense, the perfect tense, etc. What I find that most people are having trouble with today is the present tense. I am saved. Present tense. Not as if, well, I hope I am. Well, I think I am. I'm working on it. No, I am saved. That is the message of God's grace. There should be no doubt, if you understand the grace of God, that you are in a saved relationship with God. You see, because everything about our walk with God is dependent upon our understanding of God's grace. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to continue the process of growing and understanding the grace of God. And when you understand it, and you begin to allow it to empower you in which God intended it to, you will see everything differently. Everything. You see, because as you and I define grace, we call it as unmerited favor. Remember last week I talked about that God chose to not give you what you deserve. We call that mercy. But then God chose to give you what you could never deserve or ever earn or ever merit, and that's grace. Grace is unmerited. It's unearned. It is a gift. It is a grant of God Himself to humanity that you and I can be saved by His grace. Not yours, His grace. You see, grace is God's favor when God's wrath is deserved. I mean, God has appointed a day when He will judge the world. The wrath of God will come someday upon all the evil and the wickedness that is in the world today. Don't kid yourself. God has appointed a day. God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. But the beauty of God's grace is that He paid the price for your sins and bought you through the blood of His Son that was shed on the cross. You see, grace is a way of life. I said grace is a way of life. Jesus said, I've come here and I have life, an abundant life. It's when you stand and you live in grace that you begin to understand this unbelievable, abundant life that Jesus offers to us as He Himself gave Himself. Grace is the way that you look at life itself. You need to learn to look at life through the grace of the book, the grace of God, and see it as it is, through God's eyes, as He showed to you and me and demonstrated to me this unbelievable aspect of His grace. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It really is, and we'll show you that more. It's a set of principles that guide and direct one's life continually, day by day, by day, by day. You live by the principles that grace offers to you and me. You also come to a point where you begin to operate your life under the grace of God. It is in that grace, Romans 1, that we stand. Chapter 5, verse 1. We stand in the grace of God. We put ourselves in the grace of God. We'll show you that some people stand over here trying to be justified by works, the law, being good, trying to satisfy, trying to appease God, and on and on and on it goes. Or you can decide to stand over here in the liberty of Jesus Christ under His grace, under the umbrella of the grace of God. And once you learn to do that, and you live your life every day, knowing that everything you experience, everything you receive, is a gift of God's grace, life takes on a whole new meaning. It really does. You'll look at God differently. The reason a lot of us have trouble with God is we don't see God through the eyes of His message of love and grace. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Okay? And if you'll note when our scripture today, it said grace upon grace. In other words, God's grace is unmeasurable. There is no way you can in itself put a measuring on the grace of God. There's no limit to God's grace and what He supplies and what He will supply to every one of us here this morning. Every one of us. No way about it. So what does grace do for me? You see, it makes me look at you differently. See, when I look at you through the grace of God, I don't stand here judging you. I couldn't gossip about you. I couldn't say anything bad about you. I couldn't slander you. God's grace would not let me. It wouldn't. God's grace gets a hold of my heart and my tongue and my mind and my life, and it begins to transform me and change me so that whatever word comes out of my mouth, it administers grace upon the hearer. Ephesians chapter 5. For the purpose of edifying, building up, and establishing people's lives. You see, it's the way you look at people. It's the way you look at yourself. It's the way that you look at life itself. And grace in itself, there is no question about it. You are saved by grace. You're not going to be saved any other way. For by the grace you have been saved through faith, it's not of yourself. It is a gift of God. A gift is something you can't earn. It is a gift. If you could earn it, if you had to work for it, if you had to labor for it, and you had it coming, that's not a gift. That's something given to you because you labored and you worked for it and you had it coming. You deserved it. Grace is something you receive and you can never deserve it. Period. 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 You can't. You see, there's only two ways that you and I can try and approach God. There's only two ways. And that is true in every religion. Pagan, heathen religions approach their God by trying to do whatever it is to appease God, by making sure that they don't get Him angry at them, so that He doesn't destroy their crops or bring some plague upon them, and on and on and on and on and on. This God that is revealed here in the Bible, there is nothing you could have ever done to appease Him and to please Him in and of yourself. God Himself did that for you by letting His Son take on Himself all of your sins and your iniquities. And God was pleased with His Son, and God gave His Son a name above every name, because Jesus did exactly everything that God demanded Him to do. Therefore, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, the Lord our Savior. He was beaten for your iniquity. God laid up on Him the iniquities of us all. And Jesus, as Christ, bore it on the cross. And God was pleased with His Son and accepted Him as a gift offering. The Bible says He's your propitiation. He takes the wrath of God on Himself, so God now can share that love grace with you. God is not angry at you. God took it all out on His Son. God poured all of His wrath and anger out on Jesus, and Jesus took it for you. He died on your behalf. So God today, as a God of love and grace, and He demonstrates that grace, and He showed that grace and shared that grace with you and me, and through His Son. So you're going to either be saved by grace and allow the grace of God to save you and sit here with me today and stand here and say, I am saved. So if you don't believe you're saved, it'll demonstrate and you'll show it in your life. I'm serious. When you become convinced and convicted of the grace of Almighty God and that He that he get, the program that he offers to you and me, you can then boldly say with me, I am saved. I am going to heaven. I have no doubt where I am heading, and the promises of God that he offers to me by his grace are mine, and I'm going to receive them, I'm going to take them, and it's going to change my life, it's going to change my attitude, it's going to change the way I look at you, it's going to change the way I look at the world, it's going to change the way I walk with my God, because I'm going to walk with him in his grace. Or you can choose law. You can choose the way of law. You probably heard the story about a gentleman who had cut a lot of wood, cords of wood with his crock cut saw, and his neighbor told him, you know, you really ought to go down to the hardware. They got a saw down there. It's called a chainsaw. You need to go down and buy one. So the guy went down and he bought a chain saw. And he was, this guy that sold it to him said, I promise you, man, you've been sawing with a cross cut saw all these years. This thing, you'll cut 2-3 cords a day. You'll have no trouble with it. It'll be a lot easier, a lot faster. Man, it's great. These are a new production. So he bought it with all enthusiasm as you could have and you could think, and he took it home. And about a couple of days later, he went back to the hardware where he bought the saw, and he began to complain. He said, man, I have worked and worked and worked and worked and worked all day long with this thing that you sold me, this chainsaw. He said, I can't cut a thing with it. Nothing. I can't. It won't. I can cut more wood faster with my cross cut than I could do with this saw. Said, I don't understand that. Come back in the back. So he took him in the back. He looked at it. Had gas in it. Had oil in it. And then he said, well, let's see what's going on. So he dragged the cord. Boom! And the guy said, what's that noise? Now, how hard do you think it was for him to take that chainsaw and try to cut wood with it? Almost an impossible task, right? It would be. So is trying to be saved by works. So is trying to be saved by the law and your obedience to it. Wouldn't it be much easier to take a chainsaw and cut the wood? Huh? Wouldn't it be much easier to take yourself out from under the law and trying to be justified by it and putting yourself under the grace of God and be justified by God? Wouldn't that be a lot easier? Huh? But a lot of people are still living with a chainsaw. I mean, cross-cut. They're trying to still go through that process by cutting, and then they think about the grace of God, and they hear about it, and they come and become a part of God's family, and somehow or other, they walk into it, and for whatever reason, they make it harder for God to save them than they were still out there in the world. I'm serious. Well, I go to church. I read my Bible. I give. I do all this. No. Man, I'm in fact, you know, I know I go to church more than so-and-so does, and so on and so forth. And I watch so-and-so give, and I know I give more money than he does. And on and on and on and on. We start comparing ourselves with one another and measuring ourselves by one another. And Paul said, the church at Corinth, that's not wise. You know what we do every Lord's Day? We come here because we only have one measuring rod, and his name is Jesus Christ. And I got to believe that none of you measure up. Okay? I just got to believe that none of us measure up. Right? Huh? And I would dare say that probably some of us maybe have reached a spiritual maturity, maybe a little more than some others. Paul says in Romans 14 that the stronger in the faith should not judge the weaker in the faith. Because the same God who brought you to where you are could also possibly bring that other person to where you are. Well, why are you judging somebody else's servant when indeed that servant belongs to God? You see, it doesn't matter. You could be the Apostle Paul, and Paul would be still said by God. God would say to him, I'm sorry, Paul, you're going to still deal with that because my grace is sufficient for you. I don't know where you are spiritually. You may be higher in a plateau of growth than I am, but I want you to know you still aren't totally, completely Christ-like, and you're still going to need God's grace to fill the void. And you may be down here, not spiritually as mature as some others, but I still believe with the heart, if you're earnest in your salvation and seeking God, that God's grace will be sufficient for you. You get it? You get it? So then who in the world are you and I to be judging another person's servant when that person is God, who's going to save us all by grace? You're still going to get it, no matter where and how spiritual you might be. What you need to do, according to Romans 14, is thank God that you've been able to grow to where you are. But don't use it as a measuring rod to judge your weaker brother, who hasn't reached where you are yet. Right? That's what it says. You see, under the law system, that breeds judgment. It breeds judgment. If you're trying to be justified by coming to church, doing this, doing that, that's how you're going to get saved, then you can look at other people, well, they don't come to church as often, and they don't do this, and they don't do that, and do that. That's law. That's law. That is not grace. Grace took away the measuring rods. That you don't compare yourself with others and measure yourself by others and whatever. It causes you to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Just get your life, your own personal life in order, and then you can help others do the same. Perhaps, Jesus said, perhaps you can. So think about it. You can play football two ways, right? Huh? You can play flag football, tackle football, right? You can play checkers two-way, right? I played it both ways. I like the one where you just give it all away. Or you try to take the other guy's checkers, right? You can play it two ways. You can play by the rule that you're going to just see who can give the checkers away faster than the other. Or you can play it how you're going to be taking the other guy's checkers like that, right? That's two basic ways you can play. So if you're going to win the game, you better know the rules that you're going to play by. Isn't that correct? All right? You got to have that, all right? So there are rules of the game of life, not that life is a game, but there are the grace law principle and there's a law principle. Which one are you trying to live by? Which one are you trying to live by? Galatians 5:4, are you listening? Say yes. Galatians 5:4, you have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Well, I know there's a lot of people out there that say you can't fall from grace, but I guess Paul didn't know what he was talking about. But Paul says you can fall from grace. If what? If you're trying to be justified under a law system. All right? John 1:17, remember John 1:17 said, for the law was given through Moses, but what? Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. So God's word clearly shows to me in my study that I am under a system of grace, not under a system of law. Jesus took the law on the cross, nailed it there, and done away with it. So I do not live under a law system anymore. I live under a system of grace. What do we sing? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. You see, grace is what opens your eyes to the love, the goodness, the kindness of God. Grace does. So what are we again? We defined it as unmerited favor. It is a gift of God. It's not of ourselves, at least any one of us. You see, if we are under that other system of law, then we can probably boast, can't we? I probably could be sitting in Anand with a cherry pie, stick my thumb in. Look at how, what a good boy am I. Right? Remember the Pharisee came behind to the altar and went up to the altar and he was just going to go there and present his gift to God and so on and so forth. And here was this poor guy on his knees, humbly sitting there. And this fair, man, God, I certainly thank you I'm not like him. I give my tithes. I pay my alms. I read the Old Testament. I do all of these things. And yet all this gentleman was doing before God was saying, God, forgive me, for I am a a sinner. And Jesus then said, whose prayer do you think God answered? Whose prayer do you think reached the ears of heart of God? Was it the Pharisee, the self-righteous, living under a law system? Or was it a man who realized his unworthiness and bowed before the Father and asked God to forgive him for his iniquities? So when you and I look at the aspects of it, we're going to have to make a very clear differentiation between law and grace. So it's going to be clear that you know what the difference is. Because if you want to win, I use that word, and if you want to win, and you do want to win, right? Huh? Then you need to know the rules you're going to be playing your life by. You got to know the rules you're going to play your life by, if you can look at it from that perspective. You look at the rules of law. You keep the law, you escape the penalty, right? If you lived everything, didn't break the law, you could escape the penalty that the law demands. All right? But you break the law, and you're going to suffer the penalty, right? Law is a natural way. We all live under a natural law. We do. We understand that. That's why it's difficult for us to come out from under a law system and put ourselves under a grace system, because it's not natural. It isn't. It's not a natural aspect of life. It really isn't. But the whole creation of God functions under natural laws. Isn't that right? And those laws are there, and they are rooted there and created there by God. You drop something and it falls, right? And it's going to. A baby is born, it's born into a world of laws, isn't it? And as it grows and develops, it begins to learn that it better obey those laws or it's going to have to answer the consequences, right? How many of you? No, you don't need to do that, but we all have, you know. The Bible says God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that is what you're going to reap. That is a law. That is permeated in every aspect of it. Whatever you sow. Did Adam and Eve told, and were they not told, don't eat of the fruit or you will die? Right? Well, they ate, right? What was the consequences? They lay, and later they died. You break the commandment of the law, you're going to suffer the consequences. You keep the command, and you will suffer the penalty. Fall in every aspect of it, that is the consequences of living under a law system. It really is. But we're going to think with you this morning, again in closing. Do you really want to win? I mean, the Bible says we're running a race, right? Huh? The Bible talks about taking off that sin that so easily besets us. The Bible says let it run, because only one receives the prize. The aspects, of course, is that I want to win. So what am I going to live under? And I trust to God that you'll understand that if you're going to live under a law system, the law system demands perfect obedience and perfect works. The Bible says if you break the commandments, the law, in one place, just one of it, then you become guilty of it all. James chapter 2, verse 10. So, think about it. What Ray read this morning out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Think about the aspects of grace and what it really means to your life and how beautiful it is. That word ought to mean more to you than any other word in the English language that has come from God. Saved by grace. And we'll finish it. There's only about 6 more sermons. I'm serious. Just on the grace of God. And getting us to what? Why? Because the Bible says we are to grow in what? In the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What are we to grow in? Understanding of grace. Understanding of grace. And understand it is not natural for you and me. Understand that. That is not a natural process of life. We live under a system of law. It's been bred in us. And for you and me to take ourselves out of that system and be set free from it and be put under the system of God's grace is very difficult. It really is. But what does it do for me? Once I get under the grace of God and I begin to grow in it, what's it going to do? It's going to cause me to see God differently. How do you see Him right now? You see Him as a policeman sitting behind a sign just waiting for you to do something wrong so He can give you a ticket and jump on you and whatever? Is that how you see Him? Huh? That's how a lot of people see Him. They really do. But that's not who He is He? No, He isn't. You see, while you and I were all sinners, unreconciled, enemies, God commended His love, His grace toward us, and He allowed His Son to die. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the gulf that God's grace did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free, and pardon there was multiplied to me. There, my burdened soul found liberty, freedom at Calvary. And that's why Jesus came, wasn't it? To set us free. We're going to stand and sing it together at closing. If you are not under God's grace, we certainly invite you to come acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God who offered you that grace, because that's who brought it into reality. Make it, and you can make it your song. At Calvary.